was praised to the highest note by these men, who adored him, and who, ruffians as they were, trembled before him like scholars before their master, obedient to his least word, and ready to sacrifice themselves to wash out the smallest insult. Monsieur de Tréville employed this powerful weapon for the king in the first place, and the friends of the king, and then for himself and his own friends. For the rest, in the memoirs of this period, which has left so many memoirs, one does not find this worthy gentleman blamed even by his enemies, and he had many such among men of the pen as well as among men of the sword. In no instance, let us say, was this worthy gentleman accused of deriving personal advantage from the cooperation of his minions. Endowed with a rare genius for intrigue, which rendered him the equal of the ablest intriguers, he remained an honest man. Still further, in spite of sword thrusts which weaken and painful exercises which fatigue, he had become one of the most gallant frequenters of revels, one of the most insinuating ladies' men, one of the softest whisperers of interesting nothings of his day. The bonne fortune of de Tréville were talked of as those of Monsieur de Bassompierre had been talked of 20 years before, and that was not saying a little. The captain of the musketeers was therefore admired, feared, and loved, and this constitutes the zenith of human fortune. Louis XIV absorbed all the smaller stars of his court in his own vast radiance, but his father, a son pluribus impar, left his personal splendour to each of his favourites, his individual value to each of his courtiers. In addition to the leaves of the king and the cardinal, there might be reckoned in Paris at that time more than 200 smaller but still noteworthy leaves. Among these 200 leaves, that of Tréville was one of the most sought. The court of his hotel, situated in the Rue du Vieux Colombier, resembled a camp from by 6 o'clock in the morning in summer and 8 o'clock in winter. From 50 to 60 musketeers, who appeared to replace one another in order always to present an imposing number, paraded constantly, armed to the teeth and ready for anything. On one of those immense staircases, upon whose space modern civilization would build a whole house, ascended and descended the office-seekers of Paris, who ran after any sort of favour, gentlemen from the provinces anxious to be enrolled, and servants in all sorts of liveries, bringing and carrying messages between their masters and Monsieur de Tréville. In the antechamber, upon long circular benches,